Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 16. When we get through this afternoon, when we get through this afternoon, we will have been through and read every verse in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And we're going to begin today in chapter 8, verse 16. It's where we left off last week. So, they have been working on taking an offering. And now for 9 verses, Paul is assuring the people, listen carefully, that the money that you have given, we're going to take good care of it. All right? That is a commitment as your pastor and the leadership of the church is making to you. We want to be good stewards and take care of God's money that's been entrusted to us. So listen to these verses. Verse 16. You have to open up your Bible, right? Because it's not in your outline, okay? You have to open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 16. Already there? But thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you. He called Titus out to be a pastor. For he not only accepted our appeal, but by being himself very earnest, he is going to you of his own accord. With him, we are sending the brother who is famous among all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. And it's debatable about who all these people are other than Titus and Paul. Okay, it's debatable about who the three are, so we won't get into that. Verse 19. And not only that, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us as we carry out this act of grace that's being ministered by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our goodwill. Did you know that deacons in the church are the ones that God and God's scripture has entrusted the finances of the church to? The deacons of the church. And I am so thankful just as soon as we tie up the membership deal and elect elders in the church, the next thing we're going to do is select, I'm hopeful, 6 men whose primary responsibility is to take care of the finances of the church, the distribution of those finances to the people who need it, and serve in the church to help the elders so the elders can be about the ministry of the word and prayer. I'm excited about that. You need to be excited about it and prayerful about it. Verse 20. We take this course of the handling of the finances so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that's being administered by us, for we aim at what is honorable not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of men. Man. And with them we are sending our brother whom we have often tested and found earnest in many matters, but who is now more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. So give proof before the churches of your love and our boasting about you to these men. So he's telling us about the administration and the taking of the offering. So let's review just for a second. In 1 week, we looked at the 4 truths about New Testament giving. And here they were. It's a grace. You know what that means? Only God gives you the ability. Now, you may stir up your own, the ability to put some amount in the offering plate, but only God can grace you to give, what is the word? Purposefully, systematically, proportionately, sacrificially, and cheerfully. That kind of giving only comes from the same grace of God that saves you is the same grace of God that enables you to give like God wants you to give. Amen? So it's a grace. We find out from the group in Macedonia, even poor people in poverty and affliction are given the privilege of giving and can give out of their circumstances. Giving is a part of fellowshipping. You know what we're doing? We're fellowshipping together. We're praying together, we're worshiping together, we're studying together, and we give together and pool our money together as a group that we might do more than one person could. So it's part of the fellowshipping. And if you're going to give, and you're going to give in these five ways, it's going to only be after you have given yourself and all that you have to the Lord. So those were the truths we looked at the first week. Last week, we looked at four reasons to give. And here they are, and they're in your notes, to show ourselves faithful in all areas. And we'll look at this in just a little bit more in detail later. He said, in faith, in speech, in faith, in love, in purity, give yourselves fully to the work. It, just as you are faithful in those areas, give. Make sure that you're faithful in giving. To prove our love for the Lord. Wow. When we give, and give the way that God wants us to give, it proves our faithfulness and our love for the Lord. It follows the example of Christ. The first week we looked at the poor church at Macedonia and their testimony, their witness, their example of how they gave. Then last week we looked at the testimony of Jesus. What did He do? He gave Himself. He gave up the riches of heaven. He came to earth to take on a life that was very difficult. Where he had no home, he had no bed of his own. He gave up the riches of heaven. He gave himself. And that's the example that we have from Christ. And we also give to help the needs of others. That's why we give. Then we looked at what tithing is. You've got another little slip of paper in there that's got your pay stub in it. Some of y'all would like to have that pay stub. Maybe some of you don't want to have that pay stub. But you got a little pay stub in there because we talked about tithing. You've got the scripture, Malachi 3, 8 through 10. And here's what it says. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? Listen to what it says. In tithes and offerings. God expects His people to give tithes and offerings. Tithe is what, listen, tithe is your obligation. Do you know where that obligation comes from? Well, the Bible, the only amount that the Bible ever gives is 10%. But here, I'm going to go a step further. Using 10% as a guideline, I'm asking all individuals and all families to ask God in prayer together, what would you have me to tithe next year? So that's the obligation that you're under. You know what the offering is? Is anything that you give above that to a special cause, or maybe somebody is panhandling. You go to Red Lobster to eat and somebody's in the parking lot. Don't ever give them money. I can tell you where they're going as soon as you give them money. Don't give them money. They say, we need food. Say, come on in. I'm going to buy your lunch. And listen, do yourself a favor. Be a witness for the Lord and say, and you can sit with me and my family. And you witness to them while you're eating. Or maybe you find out that some family is really struggling with the holiday season. And you say, well, hey, you know what? I can go buy them some groceries. Or maybe can go and see if they need a little help with some Christmas presents. That's offerings. That's above your obligation to the tithe. So here's what the tithe in the Old Testament is, it's 10% of an amount. All right, now look at the pay stub. All right, and you see, was it $450 top left? Gross pay? Is it $450? $525. All right, now some of you guys are smart enough to give me the answer, but because you're talking to each other, you're going to miss the answer, okay? So if your paycheck is $525, what would be your tithe? $52.50. You know how to be safe? Round up to 53, right? Yeah. Anyway, that's your tithe. That's your obligation. That's the suggestion we have from God's Word. Listen to me. Don't take my word for it. You pray and ask God what God would have you to give. That's your obligation. The Old Testament had a tithe. The New Testament does not demand tithes. We talk about how much a person is to give. All right, now why do I tell you, okay, so the gross pay is $525. What was the net pay? Four what? So why would I tell you to give out of the gross? Look at your next scripture, Proverbs 3, 8 and 9. 9 and 10. I love it. Give the Lord the first fruit. Is that what yours says? All right, listen to this. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will burst with new wine. Give Him off the top. Come on now. Y'all, I told this story in the past. I won't tell the whole story. But you remember a guy at birth promised that he had two calves, and when these two calves was born, he said, "This one's the Lord, and this one is ours." You remember that? And then came down to at the time to give one of the calves to the Lord, and the calf that was the Lord's was theirs had died, and now he didn't have anything to give to the Lord. Listen, you give to the Lord the best you have. I mean, if you were going to give the first fruit, and you're a cattle farmer like Billy is or Pablo is, so you got 10 steers, I mean, in the lot, and I mean, there's a number 10 and there's a number 1, right? Which one would you give to the Lord? The best. You give to the Lord the best, off the top, not after the world's got all it wants. Now, why do we give? Why do we tithe? How in the world, with somebody that doesn't have enough money already, how in the world are they going to start giving? By faith, they believe that God can make their less go much further than their more. We just got to believe it. We got to trust it. So you see where we get paying off the top? The first fruits. Much has been said about the tithe. Many people say the New Testament does not preach tithing. It doesn't. But if the tithe was a duty under the law, what about now that we're living under grace? It would be grace that would give us the ability to give. It's what God would want me to do. It's what God said that I should do. Listen, if it's what God wants me to do, and if it's what I should do, God will make me able to do it. For God is at work where? In me, in you, making you willing and able. That's grace. I promise you, that is a great definition of grace. Willing and able. In Corinthians, the 8th chapter, Paul is stirring up the Corinthians to give to meet the needs of the church in Jerusalem. They're going through some difficult times. And he uses the poor-stricken Macedonians as an example. Then in chapter 8, later on, he uses Jesus in verse 9 as a living glory and his glory as an example. So listen to me carefully. Giving generously is one of the most profound and spiritually impactful things that you will ever do. Until you give generously and freely, you do not understand, we're going to look at some of it today, how that will impact your life spiritually. Matter of fact, I think the promise is Malachi 3, 8 through 10. You'll have so much room that he says, you'll have so many blessings, I'll throw up the gates of heaven and pour out blessings on you. I don't think it's financial blessings. I think it's primarily spiritual blessings that He's going to pour out upon you. It comes with giving. So this morning, we're going to wrap up this series on giving by looking at some of the things the money's used for. You want to know what some of the things the money is used for in your church? Last week, you had a bulletin insert about what do we call that section, Russ? The back page. It's not coming to me. The things that we do for other groups, the things we do in benevolence, the things that we do in bereavement. It's not operations; it's the other end. Anyway, look at that, and you see some of the things that we do with this money. What is it? Special services. Thank you, Deanna. So, what is this gift of money? What are we going to do with it? And what's it do for us? Okay, this is what we're looking at today. You are at the bottom of one of your pages where it says things your gift for money will do. You there in your notes? Okay. It will combat apostasy. You know what that means? Spiritually, when you give, one of the promises of God is that He's going to hold you close and He's going to preserve you. We're going to look at that today. Man, what a promise in giving. Secondly, your giving will supply need for the church and for other people. Your giving will cause joy and thanksgiving. In whose life? In our life, in the lives of others. Amen. In the life of the church. Listen to what I don't know what role she plays in Howard County, but she's one of the leaders in the Howard County call of Arkansas in Howard County. She said this, if it were not, listen to the words now, I'm going to quote you, if it were not for Maranatha Baptist Church, we would not be able to open up new counties in Howard, new foster care families in Howard County. Quote, if it were not for the support of Maranatha Baptist Church, we would not have the finances to open up new homes. That's what your money does. It puts a kid that's taken out of his biological family for whatever reason, it gives that child a good Christian home to go to. And maybe you'll be one of those by the end of the year in 2019. The fourth thing it does is it proves our obedience. And the last thing it does, listen to me, it draws others to the Lord and draws others to you. Listen, people are drawn to generous people. And they're drawn to churches that take care of other people. So now we're in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 1. Top of page 4, y'all have that scripture? Sometimes I don't know which scripture I gave to you in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 1 through 5. Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about to you, to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year. Listen to these words. And your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready. And I said you would be ready. Otherwise, in verse 4, some Macedonians come with me and find that you're not ready. We would be humiliated to say nothing of you for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you had promised so that it may be ready as a willing gift. And look at this. Not as a exaction. Y'all know what that means? Here's what it really means. That you don't give your money like you give up a tooth to the dentist when he gets ready to pull it. In other words, the church, the pastor, ought not to have to draw it out of your pocket. And it ought not hurt when you give it. It's got to be cheerful. It's got to be willing. And if you don't have that, I promise you, it's a prayer God will answer. You just ask Him, God, make me a willing giver. Because it's His purpose for you to be a willing giver. So that's a prayer that He's going to answer. So let's go verse by verse through the last 10 verses of chapter 9 and we'll be finished. We're in verse 6. The point is this, it says in verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. For some of you, I always love this illustration. For some of you who have been around here for years, you'll remember I preached this scripture one time, and I brought out a thimble. How many people know what a thimble is? Okay. It's, for you that don't know what it is, it's a little round cap for your thumb that you put on your thumb when you're sewing to keep the needle out of your thumb. That's a thimble. Oh, it would
It would be as big as your thumb. It's kind of like a cap, okay?
Okay, so the illustration I used was some people give, they bring what they're going to give, and it amounts to what they could get in a thimble. Well, listen, that's exactly how God's going to give back to you spiritually, out of a thimble. All right? And you remember in that illustration, I brought out a bushel basket. So how many dollar bills could you get in a thimble? Not many. How many dollar bills can you get in a bushel basket? A bunch. Well, as you give is the way that God's going to bless you. And I'm not talking about money-wise. I'm talking about how He's going to bless you spiritually. So when you're stingy in giving, don't expect a whole lot of spiritual blessings. That's what this Scripture is teaching. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. How do you want to be blessed by God? Well, I want to tell you, I think you're bad wrong to pray that God would bless you financially. In a big way. Because why do we know that's probably not a good prayer? Because there's many dangers of having much money. But would it be wrong to ask God to bless you abundantly spiritually? Wouldn't be anything wrong with that. And so look at that. Look at verse 6. I'm sorry, Luke 6:38. For with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. And then Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he also will reap. If you give generously, God's going to deal with you generously. You know what you really need to pray? That God would bless you in your giving exactly as He sees fit. But especially, come on, Lord. I'm going to give. Lord, listen, bless me by saving my children, my grandchildren. Lord, bless me by making me into the person You'd have me to be, sanctification. And Lord, keep me to the finish line. We're going to look at this. It's right here in the Scripture. Ask for spiritual blessings. Give monetarily and ask God to bless you spiritually. That's a safe way to go. Look at verse 7. Each one must give as he has, as the preacher has told him to give. As somebody has determined for him to give. No, each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I'm asking you, if you are a single person, to pray and ask God, what is my tithe going to be? If you're married, I pray that you and your wife, and listen, bring your kids into it. How much do you think God would have us to give? Where does that come from? Right out of this Scripture. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. With the advice of Almighty God. With the guidance of the Scripture. All right, so over the last 3 weeks you've been taught. Pray. Discuss it. Seek counsel. Especially from your family. And decide. And purpose. That's what you're going to do. You'll be so excited. If you've not been a tither, if you've not been a regular giver, you'll be so excited to take that first offering amount and put it in your Bible as soon as you get your paycheck. You'll be so excited about taking that and putting it in the offering plate. And you should be. Because you're being obedient to the Lord. And you're believing the Scripture that God's going to bless you spiritually as He sees fit. Now, I have a suggestion for you. If you have been putting cash in the offering plate, I suggest you not do that without some accountability. We have offering envelopes. Nella keeps them all the time. You can get an offering envelope and you can put on there, Joe Jones, $100, put it in the envelope. Brother Bob keeps up with the giving. That holds you somewhat accountable. It also gives you and us a record of your giving. Listen, and the only one that, Bob, has anybody in this church ever looked at that, those records besides you? Nobody. Nobody. But it holds you accountable. And it gives you a record. Now, I don't care if you use it or not. We do. It can be used in your taxes as a deduction. Now, for I don't know where you would have to get in your income that standard deduction wouldn't be more than that. But you can use your giving to a church as a tax deduction. But you can have a record of your giving. Listen to me now. I think the only cash that ought to go in the offering plate are from guests. Or if you want to give your kid a dollar to put in the offering plate, give it to them. Let them bring it down front. But you need to have a record, and you need some you need to have some accountability for your giving. I suggest that's what you do. Am I demanding that? No. But once you do that, you know, y'all listen to me carefully now. $5 a week from every family in here won't get the budget covered. Matter of fact, $20 a week from every family in the church won't cover the budget. You have been taught, pray, discuss, seek counsel, and decide what you're going to give. Give cheerfully, not reluctantly, or under compulsion. And listen to me. If you want any clarifications about this, I'll meet with you. Hey, Billy and I'll meet with you. Russ and I'll be with anybody in here will meet with you, and we'll talk about this. Listen, we don't want your money for our personal use. We want your money because it will be good for you to give, and we can do the advancement of God's kingdom in this local church. Plus, listen to me, we don't have any money that's our own. Who gives you the ability to earn the money that you earn? The Lord does. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. Did you hear this? And God is able to make all grace abound to you. Now listen. Look at the second part of that verse. So that having, what's that say? All sufficiency in what things? In all things and at all times, you may abound in every good work. You see that promise? When the grace of God enables you to give, you're going to be sufficient in all areas of your life at all times, especially the spiritual things of your life, and you're going to abound. That's a promise of Scripture. Look at the Scripture that goes with it. Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. One gives freely, yet grows all the what? Richer. Another withholds what he should give, and he only suffers want. Listen, you know what the Scripture teaches? That a generous giver is refreshed. I know of one woman. She's no longer with us. I'm telling you what. There's no telling how much money she gave to this church. I have no idea how much money she gave to this church. She's gone. She was never a member of this church. There's no telling how much money she gave away in her lifetime. And I can tell you, she did not die a poor woman. God refreshes the supply of those who are generous givers. Wow. In a supernatural way. It's just proof. You can prove it from Scripture. You can prove it by watching people's lives. Look at verse 25. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. Philippians 2:13. Because God is always at work in you to make you willing and able to obey His own purpose. 2 Corinthians 8:7. You remember this from a couple of weeks ago? So, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in your love for you, see that you excel in this grace of giving. Now listen to what the Scripture is saying here. When you excel in the grace of giving, you also will excel in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in earnestness. In all other realms, you will be enriched. Verse 9 and 10. As it is written, He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. Look at this next part. His what? His righteousness endures forever. You know the righteousness that He's talking about? He's talking about the righteousness that was given to you of Christ that was not your own. It's that imputed righteousness. And so what He's saying in this Scripture, that imputed righteousness is firmed up, made strong in your being a generous giver. Let's read it again. As it is written, He has distributed freely, He has given to the poor. His what? In righteousness endures forever. You know what I believe that Scripture is saying? That God is about keeping those of His that are generous givers. And one thing that solidifies and strengthens that keeping is us being generous givers. Let's go on. We'll see righteousness again. Verse 10. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed. You see that? Your seed for sowing and the increase of the harvest of your righteousness. So, you know what he's saying? He's saying, as you sow righteousness, and as you sow the Word of God, God is going to increase your ability to work for the Lord out of your giving. One of the results is that your ability to witness to other people will be increased. And I've claimed that this week for us. For Jeannie and myself, that, hey, God, one way that we'd like to be blessed out of our giving is that you would make us fruitful in our seeking to see the lost people saved. Verse 22, Proverbs 22:9, the generous will themselves be what? For they share their food with a... That's just the Scripture. Verse 11 says, you'll be enriched in which way? In every way, to be generous in what? Which through us will produce what? Yeah, God will give God... or people will give God thanksgiving for your generosity. Verse 12. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. It will supply the needs of many. It will increase people being thankful towards God. Look at verse 13 and 14. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession to the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. What he's saying is there is this will prove our faith and our obedience. Verse 14, while they long for you and pray for you because of their surpassing grace of God upon you. You know what that verse is saying? People that we help, probably not many, but some of them are doing what for us? Praying for us. Speaking good of us. Telling other people about the work of this church. And some of those people who have been helped will yearn to be a part of this fellowship. Not all, but some. Verse 15. Listen to this. And thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift. Listen. Next year, if giving would increase to anything close to what Carson thinks it ought to be, you know what we'll be doing? We'll be thanking God for this inexpressible generosity of this church. And when we present the budget to you, instead of spending $28,000 on people like The Call and Heart Cry Missionary Society and the Voice of the Martyrs and Wycliffe Bible Distributors, we might be given $100,000. And advancing the kingdom even more effectively throughout the world. And you know what? Listen to me. The people who have done it like the Lord says to do it, when they've done it purposefully, systematically, proportionally, sacrificially, and cheerfully, they won't want for spiritual things, nor the necessities of life. So giving is a big old dose of checking our faith. Amen? Can God make little go further than more? That's really what it's all about. So what have we learned? We need to learn and pray and ask God to give us the grace to give, because it's a grace. We need to pray and ask God that He would have me, what He would have me to give. God, what would you have me to give? And you know what? You're going to have to make the commitment to start giving. We are to give purposefully, systematically, proportionally, sacrificially, generously, and cheerfully. And ask God to give us the grace. Listen now, it's one thing. Remember the collection and the collection in the Corinthian church? They started it, but they hadn't finished it yet. It's one thing to give on January the 6th, right? It's another thing to still be giving on December the 2nd next year. Amen? So you got to ask the Lord to give you the grace to keep on what you started and continue to have faith. So, I want to suggest a couple of things. Listen. Does God know all things? What's hidden from God? All right. So, you've just been putting $20 in the offering plate. But now you're going to not take that $20 and put it in the offering plate. You're going to put it in an envelope. All right? And the envelope's sealed and it's got your name on it. Does God still know how much is in that envelope? Okay. So, what you've been giving, right, God knows. He knows what you're going to give next week. All right? But sometimes we need some accountability. We need to know that our giving is being recorded. It'll be healthy for you. You could come and ask Brother Bob next year, how much did I give this year? He can tell you. If he's got record of it, he can if you don't. So, it doesn't matter if it's in an envelope or not. God knows how much we're giving. I would make a suggestion that you have a recording of what you give. Because one of the responsibility of a member of the church is to what? To give to the church. At the end of the year, if your gifts are recorded, you'll be given a list of your total contributions. And anything over $250 will be recorded as an individual gift. That's just kind of a requirement of the IRS. Now, Brother Bob and I were talking about this morning, and some of the other guys over there, we're going to have to get some clarification on it. We're not sure that if you don't ever give a gift more than $250, if we're obligated to give you anything. But I want you to know this. If you are giving to this church and your giving is identified, at the end of the year, we can tell you how much you've given. And I'm so thankful for Brother Bob. And Brother Bob, does that take an hour a week? Okay. It takes some time. But you know what? We're accountable to be good accountants of the money that's given. Not only in how we receive it, not only how we handle it, not only how we get it in the bank, but how we spend it. And we want to teach you to be accountable. I don't think I finished this a while ago. How much of what we have belongs to the Lord? All of it. So, how much of our time belongs to the Lord? I would like to think, and I think most of us think we have some free time. Right? And there may be some people that think they have some expendable income. But even with our time and even with that extra little cash that we might have, our first thought should be what? Lord, what would you have me to do with it? How could I use it to advance your kingdom? And we're also thinking, you know how long Man, Jan, were we taking the offering like we take it now when y'all came here? Wow. We've been taking the offering like we take it for a long time. Most churches, well, many churches, there would be, you know how we passed out the Lord's Supper element? That's how many people, they pass the plate and it goes right in front of you every week. Okay, other churches, the kids are down here and Billy's down here, and every aisle files by and goes back in their seat. So everybody comes by and puts in. So there's different ways that we can take the offering. And maybe we've gotten a little complacent with how we do it. And listen, I was thinking about when I was preaching this. If everybody, or especially teachers and leaders in the church, you know, a lot of times, and they've all admitted this, a lot of times they put their money in the offering plate or their envelope before church starts. So nobody ever sees Russ come down here and put his money in. Or Bob and Nella. You never know they put their money in here because they're up there. Well, I can assure you they do. But if everybody came by and put their offering in, I don't know. Listen, pray for us. We don't care how we take it. We just want to do it like God would have us do it. Amen? So I'm done. And if you're fuzzed up, I'll put a little salve on it, okay? And we'll talk about it. But listen, when I share the gospel message, when I shared the gospel message at that funeral yesterday, now this morning I wrote down a couple of things I'd have done different, okay? But I will tell you about the gospel message that I shared yesterday. I am absolutely convinced that's how a person gets saved and gets made right with God. I'm absolutely convinced of that. I am absolutely convinced standing here this morning that if you will give next year to the Lord what you have purposed in your heart to give, next year at this time, you'll come up here and tell me and probably the whole church, I've been blessed by giving. I'm convinced of that. Listen, and if you don't believe me, you just go to anybody in the church and ask them, do you tithe? Do you tithe and give above the tithe? And ask them how they feel about their giving. You won't find a sour puss in the bunch. Amen?